This is the day, this is the day that the Lord hath made. All right, I think we should give our young people another hand. Yeah. All right, let's have a vote on that right now. I'll vote for them. Yes, yes. So, I was telling Matt, I said, reckon they want a job. So, no, what a wonderful thing. I mean, you guys were just so good. The energy, the passion, the enthusiasm, the articulation. Wow. Listen, adults, we could learn from that. So, no, such a wonderful job, and I thank you so much, and also for our youth leaders in helping them put that all together and the investment that you've had in their lives. Well, the truth of the matter is, most of us here are on the backside of 50, and we're making things happen on that side. But as you saw this morning, there are some incredible, passionate, wonderfully potential young people that we have here today. I mean, only God knows what they can do if they would just sell out to Him completely. And believe me, take your imagination, blow the top off of it, and let God do whatever He wants to do. Now, I know that's hard for us to do sometimes because, you know, seriously speaking, we think, well, you know, they're just young people. Well, we've already saw this is their first time up. Look what they've done. So, you know what? Today, I would like to challenge our young people just a little bit further. Honestly speaking, though, from what I experienced this morning, we could dismiss and go home and we've been in church. But how many times have you known the preacher to do that, eh? So I don't want anybody to be passing out, you know, when we do something out of the ordinary. So, yes, I stopped and had a cup of coffee in this morning, so I've still got plenty of energy, which was a mistake, too full of energy. But anyway, young people, I want to speak to you today, to the young at heart. You're full of energy. You're full of dreams. You're full of ambition. You're full of potential. And all those things are the ingredients that it takes to just do something incredible in life. And as a Christian, you can do something incredible, unlimited for God. And today we're going to be talking about some of the people who actually have done that. Again, there might be that little bit of an idea that some people say, well, they're just young people, you know, they've had a good day, and, you know, but they're just young people. Well, true, you know, we need to invest in them. We need to invest a lot of our time and energy and things like that. But what I want to do is show you what young people can actually do. I'm going to tell you an Australian story to begin with, of a very young man. And then we're going to go to the scriptures, and I'm going to show you how God used young people throughout the Bible. It's not exhaustive. There's so many. But we're going to look at a few people that God used. If you look at your handout, you'll notice the ones that we're going to look at. But first, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you again for the blessings of the day. Thank you for our young people. Thank you for the gifts and talents that you have so obviously given to them already. Thank you for their love for you. And thank you for their passion, which all of us can benefit from. So, Father, I pray that you continue to mold them and shape them into what you want them to be. And help us, Lord, to just release them and let them fly. Lord, we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Today I heard this week I heard a very Australian story about a young person that just kind of blew me away. Have you ever heard the name Lenny Dwyther? Lenny Dwyther. It's part of Australian history. Let me tell you the story. He's 9 years old and he lived in country Victoria back in the Depression days. His father was a decorated World War I veteran who had chronic war injuries, and the family lived on a farm. Unfortunately, one day, Lenny's father had an accident and he ended up in the hospital. And then because he was in the hospital, he couldn't work on the farm. And if, you know, the crop was out and if something wasn't done, then everything would be lost. But 9-year-old Lenny said, no, I can do something about this. He got stuck into it. He went out and did all the work on the family farm to where the crop was saved and the family moved on. 9 years old. And they didn't have all the modern machinery and stuff that we would have today. But he got stuck into it and he did it. But you see, that's where the story really just kind of begins. Lenny's father, a very proud father, and he went to his son and said, listen, what can I give you? What can I do for you to show you my appreciation for you saving the crop? Well, Lenny had heard about this bridge that they were building over Sydney Harbor. And when he heard about the Sydney Harbor Bridge, he wanted to read everything he could get his hands on. And so he read everything. Of course, he didn't have the internet, so he probably couldn't get all that much. So he went to the library, whatever, read everything that he could read about the Sydney Harbor Bridge. And when his dad asked him, what can I do for you? He said, I want to go see the opening of the Sydney Harbor Bridge. He lived 1,000 kilometers from Sydney Harbor. His dad said, okay, you can go, but you're going to have to find your own way. 9 years old. Lenny said, okay. Lenny mapped out his journey. And then Lenny and his faithful horse, Ginger Mick, got started. They went through rains and storm and fog and isolation. And they were even jumped by a deranged tramp one day at the very beginning of the journey. That would have discouraged a lot of people, but not Lenny. Lenny went on. And they worked their way through country Victoria and then into Canberra. And when they got to Canberra, the word for Lenny's journey has just gotten out. And they met the Prime Minister who welcomed them into Canberra. 9-year-old Lenny and his horse, Ginger Mick. Not only that, but they went to the old Parliament House and had a cup of tea, and they were treated a cup of tea while Ginger Mick was out on the front lawn of the old Parliament House having a little bit of a pick of that well-manicured grass. Nobody cared. These guys were celebrities. And then he went on and started heading for Sydney. And then after a long, hard, epic journey that lasted 4 months, 9-year-old Lenny and Ginger Mick arrived in Sydney. And they were mobbed by the public and the press. He's on a journey today. Hello. That's right. Have a seat. All right, we'll continue with the journey. Now, Lenny and Ginger Mick, when they got there, you know what happened to them? They were mobbed by the press. They were mobbed by the people. They had the opportunity to meet the Lord Mayor at Sydney Town Hall. They visited Circular Quay. They visited Bondi Beach. And then Lenny even had the opportunity to ride an elephant at Tauranga Zoo. Then on the 19th of March, the day that the Harbor Bridge opened, Lenny and Ginger Mick and a large group of notables, dignitaries, people like that, rode across the Sydney Harbor at the cutting of the ribbon. 9 years old. Don't tell me young people can't do things. young people can change the world. But on the 21st of March, something magnificent happened to Lenny. He got to meet his idol, who's Sir Donald Bradman. Donald Bradman gave him a signed cricket bat for him to take home. I'm sure he cherished that the rest of his life. So now they got there and they completed their task. They were lauded. But the story's not over. Lenny contacted his dad and said, "Dad, would you mind if we came back the same way? 4 more months?" Dad said, "Sure." So Lenny and Ginger Mick made their return voyage, and when they were mobbed, let's see if I can get this right, back in their hometown of Leongatha. Anybody familiar? Leongatha? That's their hometown. They were mobbed by over 800 people at a civic reception when they arrived back home. 9 years old. That one story, contemporary story, tells us that young people can do anything. You just got to turn them loose and let them soar like eagles. You got to keep the vultures away and let them soar. The Bible is full of people that God used at very young age, and we're going to look at some of those. First, we're going to look at a man by the name of Samuel. You remember the story of Hannah? Hannah couldn't have children, and she kept praying to God, "God, would you give me some children?" She kept praying, and she went up to the temple one time, and she was praying so passionately, and she was so exhausted that the priest thought she was drunk. I mean, she was really serious with God, and she finally told God, "If you will give me a son, I'll give him back to you." And God blessed her and gave her Samuel, and she took her young son, Samuel, and turned him over to the priest in the temple. And it was very early on that God began to speak to and use Samuel. Very early on. And Samuel became one of the greatest prophets of the Old Testament. But there was another young lady that is not well known. Maybe you remember her. She was a young Jewish girl that had been taken captive when the Jews were... The Syrians came in and conquered the Jews, and they took away slaves, and this little Jewish girl went, and she was staying with Naaman, the Syrian military captain. Unfortunately, Naaman came down with leprosy. And leprosy, you know about leprosy. Leprosy is bad. It's painful. It's hopeless. You get that, you're gone. But this little Jewish girl had so much compassion on her master, that she suggested to Naaman's wife that Naaman go over and see the Jewish prophet, and the Jewish prophet could heal him, which at that time was Elisha. You know what? Naaman, the Syrian military captain, listened to this little Jewish girl and went and talked to Elisha, and Elisha healed him. I'm sure this little girl probably was elevated pretty quickly in that family. A young girl in captive who decided to follow her heart and do what's right. Her master was healed. We have Samuel. We have this young Jewish maiden. And then there's Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Scholars are not sure about how old these people are, but Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they're pretty certain they were really, really young. But here are young people that God greatly used. But young people, listen, keep this in mind. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were absolutely and totally sold out to God. And you know what? Even when the big king came in and said, we'll give you all of this food and finery and all that kind of stuff, Daniel said, nope, I'll have no part of it. I'll just have bread and water or whatever they're going to be eating. And you know what? They were dedicated to the cause of God, not to the cause of man. And God used them in a wonderful way. That's why they're recorded in the scriptures, because these young people were sold out. They were passionate about their God. And they even went so far to risk their lives. You know the story. But God protected them. Kind of like Mel today. Then there's another boy at 8 years old. His name is Josiah. He became the king of Israel at 8 years old. How could he be a king at 8 years old? Well, whatever it was, God decided to make Josiah king of Israel. And his father and his grandfather were so wicked that they had pretty much closed the temple down and started raising up idols to all the gods and basically devil worship. That's what Josiah's father and grandfather were doing. So it was a wicked place to be living in Israel at that time. And 12 years later, at 20 years old, Josiah decided, listen, enough of this rubbish. I'm going to go through and tear all these idols down, and I'm going to clean this thing up. A young man. He went through and totally revolutionized Israel at the time and removed all the rubbish. And while they were cleaning out the temple, they rediscovered the law of God that had been hidden and covered with rubbish for so long. And when they brought that out, Josiah said, read it to the people. What happens when God's word is presented to his people? They repent. They turn back to God. Why? An 8-year-old king. 8-year-old king who saw a problem. In a few years, he fixed the problem. Don't tell me young people can't do things. Young people, what it does take is being sold out to God and let God do with you what He chooses. Let's think of another young man, which you know this story really well. David, a skilled shepherd boy. Some scholars, and I just saw this, and I didn't do the research on it, but I'll let you know what some scholars think. Some scholars think that he's somewhere between the ages of 12 and 15 when he confronted Goliath. Can you imagine that? This 9-year-old, I'm just going to say it, ugly military guy that had all the finery and the weaponry of, that the Philistines could muster, and here this little guy, you know, walking up, Goliath roars, am I a dog? When he saw David coming up, my goodness. But I remember some of the words that David said. You remember when David came on the scene, you know, his father sent him over to leave the sheep and to go over and check out his brothers and see the things that's going on. And then when he got there, he saw the armies of Israel kind of cowering in the corner. This big ugly Goliath over on the wall, you know, on the mountain screaming at them. And whenever David saw that these grown military men were hiding, I'm sure it frustrated him. Let's just say 15 years old. And when they started making fun of him, or his brothers did, his family was looking down on him, he said, is there not a cause? Isn't there something needs to be done? 15 years old. I love some of the things the Bible says about him. 1 Samuel chapter 17. When David was approaching Goliath, listen to what he says. You come to me with sword, spear, and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. Today the Lord will conquer you. and I will kill you and cut off your head. Yeah, right. Hear that confidence? Confidence in what? Hang on. He goes on, and then I will give the dead bodies of your men to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. That's where his confidence was. Not in things that we can, in this world, not in our technology. There's a God who can make a difference. David continues, and everybody assembled here will know that the Lord rescues his people, but not with the sword and spear. Listen, this is the Lord's battle, and he will give you to us. Where's the focus? Tell me, everybody, where's the focus? God. God. I don't know whether he was wise or crazy, but after making that big, long speech, David takes off running, not away, but right in the face of Goliath. You know the end of the story. You could hear it. 15 years old. Young people can change the world if their focus is on God and God alone. Let's move into the New Testament. Once Jesus was out ministering, and we know the ministry of Jesus, how he touched lives and encouraged people and met needs. And he was up into the mountains, and he and his disciples were coming down one day. They were coming from the mountains, and all these people around. And finally, the disciples went over and told Jesus, you know what? The people are getting tired and hungry here. You know what? And I think even the King James Version says they are faint. So, you know, things weren't looking good. And the disciples told Jesus, send these guys away because we don't have anything to feed them. Well, Jesus is not in the habit of sending people away in need. So he looked at the disciples and says, no, you feed them. 12 men that were unprepared feeding 5,000 people. What are you going to do? I'm sure the disciples went, what do we do? Let's use our imagination. Then all the kerfuffle was going on. The disciples were wondering what was going on. And then a little boy comes up. And it just so happens that he had his lunch. Looks like mama prepared the little boy. So much for the disciples. Some of them weren't the sharpest pencils in the box. But mama prepared the little boy, and the little boy come up with his lunch, you know, a few pieces of fish and bread. And I'm sure he come to the disciples. He said, listen, guys, I'll let you have this. Maybe that will help. Andrew takes it, and so he pats the boy on the head. He walks up to Jesus and said, we have this little boy's lunch here. And listen to Andrew's doubt. But what's so little amongst so many? A little boy's lunch. Jesus takes the little boy's lunch and he tells the disciples, sit all the people down. He lifts the little boy's lunch and he lifts it to God and blesses it. He begins to break it. And he feeds over 5,000 people. One of the most remarkable miracles in Jesus' ministry. Why? One little boy's lunch. Oh, he could have said, no. My mama gave that to me and I'm going to eat it because I'll get hungry. Know any people like that? Oh, we don't have any people like that here. But anyway, he could have said no. But he offered what he had to the Lord. And the Lord took what he had and blessed it. And he fed the multitudes. Why? Because of one little boy. Teenager, young person, young adult. What has God given you that he wants to take, break, bless, and minister to thousands? Well, I don't know. I'm just a young person. Hang on. We've already proved that doesn't mean anything. But God's looking for somebody that will take what they have, offer it to him, and God says, yes, I can work with that. And uses it to minister to who knows who. But it's going to take a commitment from you, young person. Well, as a young person or even an adult, you might be sitting there, okay. You got your point across. You convinced me God can use young people. So what do I have to do now to get ready for God to use me? Number one, you need to believe that God can and will use you. You know what the trouble with most adults are? We're so skeptical. We know God can, but we really don't believe he will. Am I right about that? You know, God can do these wonderful things, but not in my life. So we've got to first believe that God can and will use what we have. And you need to have confidence in God, not yourself. This has been proven over and over and over down through history that God can use young people. Let me give you just a couple more examples. Remember the great Welsh revival? You know who started the great Welsh revival? No. A very young evangelist and a bunch of teenagers started the great Welsh revival. One evangelist and a bunch of teenagers that got passionate about what they believed and moved on, and God greatly used them to revolutionize a whole area. But there's another group of people, five college students. History calls them the Haystack Five. And these five college students, listen, these five college students went out and gathered on the haystack and they began to pray for world missions. Five college students. And historians attribute their prayer meeting to the spread of the Protestant missionary movement since that time. Five college students. God can use you, young people. Young person, God can use you. Older person, I fit into that one. God can use us. But we've got to believe that he can. So where do we go from here? Well, young person, I want you to listen to this. I'm going to go to the scriptures, and I want you to hear something the Apostle Paul said to his young preacher, Timothy. Obviously, there were some people looking down on Timothy because he was so young. Now, I don't know just how old he was, but obviously some people were looking down on him. And the Apostle Paul gave him some very good advice in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. Listen to what he said. Don't let anyone think less of you because you are young. Let's stop. Don't let anyone, matter of fact, don't even listen if somebody looks down on you because you're young. But here's the instruction that Paul gives Timothy. Be an example to all believers. In other words, you set the example. If somebody else is not setting the example, you set the example in this way. First, in the way you live. You don't have to follow the crowd. You follow Jesus and God will use you in a wonderful way. So be an example in the way you live, in your love. Love honestly, dearly. Love like Jesus loved. And in your faith, have a rock solid faith that will not be moved, regardless of when circumstances go backwards. I think Mel told us about that today. And here's a big one, guys. Listen to this. Timothy, you be an example in your purity. In our world today, it is so easy to slip up and get involved in things that you shouldn't be involved with. You know that. Paul told Timothy, you be an example in your purity. So make the right decisions. Stay clean before God. If the rest of your mates and friends are doing it, don't follow them. You be an example in your purity. So Paul was very specific. Be an example in what you say, in the way you live, in the way you love, in the faith that you hold to, and in the way that you live your pure life. So how do we get started? 2 points and I'm done. Listen, how do we get started? You got to make sure you're a Christian. You got to make sure that you made a solid commitment to Jesus Christ. He needs to be the Lord of your life. And if Jesus is Lord of your life, you just got plugged into the power source. Because when we get saved, the Holy Spirit moves in, and the same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead and created the world moves inside, and He invigorates us and energizes us and gives us an ability that's outside of our imagination. But we got to be saved. Make sure that Jesus is Lord of your life. Secondly, you ready? You got to make the decision to sell out to Him. Make the decision to sell out to Him. Will it be hard? Sorry, but yeah, it will. This morning I saw some strength and talent and integrity in young people I think that could fight that battle and win. And you know what? I think you've got a bunch of parents, relatives, and church members and friends here at War Hope Baptist Church that will get behind you and pray for you and lift you up and hold you up before God and help you in any way that you would need. So two things. Make sure you made a solid commitment to Jesus. Second, sell out to God. Older person, have you made those commitments? Have you made a solid commitment to Jesus Christ? If you hadn't, you need to. Have you sold out to Jesus? You need to. And if we'll do that, particularly young people, we'll be able to soar like eagles. And we're going to sit back and watch you fly. Believe me, I know. I've seen this once before in Queensland. We had a group very similar to this one. God blessed them and used them. Now you have one of the most exciting churches that Gladstone, Queensland has ever seen, because that youth group matured and now they're leading that church. Let Jesus make you fly. Let's bow our heads. Perhaps you're here today and you've never made that solid commitment to Jesus. That's step number one. If you have any doubts whether you have made that commitment or not, I would encourage you just for a second to slip your hand out. I'm going to pray for you, and that's all, okay? Anybody like that, young or old? Secondly, have you sold out to Jesus? Today, every single one of us need to make that commitment to sell out to His causes. Will we do that? Father, I thank You, Lord, for Your Word, and I thank You for the wonderful job our young people have done today. I thank You for the natural gifts and then the spiritual gifts that You so obviously have already given them. Thank You for their presentation. Thank You for their effort. And God, thank You for using them. Thank You for Mel and her testimony. I thank You for Your Word, who shows us that down through history, You use young people in magnificent ways. Now, Father, as we're sitting before Your throne, we ask that You use us again. Use us again for Your glory. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please stand. Thanks for being here. I want you to, older folks, you've probably already done it, but make sure you let our young people know how much you appreciate them, okay? All right, thanks. Have a great week.